want to live a powerless life. Life without identity. Kingdom of darkness does not acknowledge that I have come and I live under the yoke of the devil. I don't want to live under the subjugation of the kingdom of darkness. I believe in power. I'm a creature of power. I was forged by power. I was created for power. I have been given power. If it will ever be, then it will be by power.
It's about 22 years ago now, we were experiencing a move of God while we were on campus. People were giving their lives to Christ without an evangelist. The conviction of God broke upon the campus and so many things were happening that we could not explain. It was obvious that we were immature as preachers and teachers to actually capture the full scope of that which God wanted to do. We, as many people, because there were so many people that came to me personally to be led to Christ, and we set up a Holy Ghost chamber on the tennis court where we served men Holy Ghost as wine. Yes. And I was one of the people that functioned in that capacity. So when we get news of someone that gave his life to Christ, I was the Holy Ghost bartender, serving live. So many things were happening at the same time. We were seeing the book of Acts of the Apostles come alive. But one morning, I went to pray. It was 5 a.m. in the morning. I was in the prayer place. And unfortunately, I was the only one there that day. And the Holy Ghost came to me. And when he came to me, he said, "Son, unfortunately, I will have to leave." That was not a good news. That was not the kind of news we expected, because things were breaking out. Things were breaking out. And it was in those days that I sensed the anointing for the first time, that when I preached the gospel, people fall under power. You say you are going? No, we're just getting started. Hallelujah. That was how that revival began to die. But before he left, he said, "I will come again." For many years I waited. I waited for a sign. I waited for something that would reveal that God was going to come. Waited for 10 years in intercession, in the place of fasting, in the place of prayer. And there was no sign. And when we say we are waiting, what we are waiting for is not the anointing that knocks men down. That's not what we are saying we are waiting for. People were growing in the anointing. People were getting healed. But there was something I saw on campus. It was not in church. I know how many members of Black Axe threw away the axe and got transformed. And they were so full of God that even the members of Black Axe were afraid of them. It happened on campus. I remember one day I woke up from my room and I needed water to have my bath before I go for lectures. And the line of buckets was impossible. And when I came to the place, it was a Black Axe member that took my bucket, put it where his was, and he came and took the place that I was. Hallelujah. Yes, when I walk into the common room those days, people that smoke will stop smoking. I'm not their father. But there was something that was happening that I could not understand. We could not fully articulate. Great things. Great things. I remember we prayed for about 2 people that were dead on campus and they came back to life. Great things taking place. And then the Holy Ghost now said, "Sorry, I have to leave." In the midst of the action, we were just getting started. What gripped you so much that you need to leave now? You have set us up. Because we were going through the motion. And I realized that if you are walking with the Holy Ghost, anytime you ever say, "I got it," in that same time, you lost it. We were not educated. And we felt that the things that happened to Charles Finney what's beginning to happen to us. Hallelujah. Many there were among us that felt they were the best thing that happened to Christianity at that time, because the hand of God was strong. And the Holy Ghost came and said, sorry, I must leave. But I will be back again. And we waited long. We waited long, hoping that he would show a sign. As time went on, a nation that I knew that God had a covenant with, even Nigeria, was beginning to enter into the shadows and into darkness. And I was wondering, when will you come? It was easier for you to have come 5 years ago. Now we are overtaken by gross darkness. When will it please you to remember the blood of the precious that were slain on the mountaintops? And he kept mute for 12 years. It was 12 years. That is how many years now? 22 years. I did not show the sign. It's time for me to come back. I asked this question, why did you leave? I never got an answer for 22 years. But he says he's coming back. Turn your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. This is 11 years ago now. I was in my sitting room. I was praying 4 a.m. in the morning. And Jesus walks through the wall and he comes in. And when he came in, I was wondering, because he had no shoes on. And I was afraid. I said, Lord, you don't have any shoes on. What's the problem? Then he quoted that scripture to me in the book of Joshua chapter 1, that everywhere the sole of your feet shall tread upon shall be given unto you as a possession. Then I knew that the reason for which he came was he wanted to claim grounds. He reached out and called me, and my body left my spirit. And then we went to a place which I have come to realize that is Donatus village, called Jatoka. But I did not know it was. That was the place. And he began to curse the altar there. And when he cursed the altar fell. And the memory of the altar passed away. We went to another place in Tivland. That place, I have not discovered that place. Because I know this first place, which is Jatoka, was this shrine was sited on a grave. The second place, I don't know what. Where it was, and he spoke, and the altar fell. I think we went for about 3 rounds, and then we came back to my sitting room again. And then he turned his back. I said, no, what of the poverty in the land? You didn't address the poverty, you didn't address the darkness. There's a surge of demonic activity you didn't speak about. And Jesus said, I will return. That is to comfort me. This one was 11 years ago. The first one was what? 22 years ago. I've only shared this one with a few people. Said I would return. Blessed are they that believe in me. That's what he said. So every time I celebrate a birthday, I go back to God. I said, you said you were going to come back. We don't know how you will come back. We don't know when you will come back. But if you want to come back, come quickly. Because the tokens of the kingdom are stolen. And it's easier to be afraid than to be in faith. So many questions begging for answers. And it seems there are no voices in the territory to bring perspective. If you want to come, come quickly. He didn't answer. until 2019. So it's time to come. Meanwhile, I need to tell you a story from heaven. Because when the issue of Nigeria was brought up in the council, most of the elders pleaded with God to shift his favor from this country to another country. Yes. In fact, Ghana was proposed highly in the chambers. I'm telling you what I saw from heaven. If it were democracy, God's face would have turned from Nigeria. Probably the first thing. Okay. Let's leave that. The contention was so strong. And then God revealed that the reason why his face cannot be turned from Nigeria was because he entered into deep covenants with our ancestors. Not because of us. There were vows that he made. There were covenants that he made with our ancestors. And at this point in time, it is not consistent with his nature for him to forget those covenants that are already operational. It was on the strength of that that God reassured that his covenant with this nation will not be broken. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall come upon thee. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all things. So you say, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. That's the same principle that is in the book of Genesis chapter 8 from verse 22. What occasioned that exposition? In the book of Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 was that Noah was seeking a ground of stability. Before that time, God in his wrath had judged the earth. Before that time, the fall of man had been activated, and the governor that was supposed to superintend this realm, hallelujah, the governor is the one that has the manual for every creature. Even the Holy Spirit had withdrawn from the physical creation, and that's when the preacher said, what was left, the purposes that were left in the physical creation, was vanity upon vanity, cycles, levels and degrees of vainness being expressed, because the Holy Spirit had withdrawn his services from the physical creation. It was on the strength of that that God began to crystallize the new creation, because his purposes could no longer be found within the crucible of the old. That was a lamentation that the preacher sustained in the book of Ecclesiastes. And now, in Genesis chapter 8, having known this, Noah decided to intercede. And he took unclean creatures from the ark and made a sacrifice to God. And we will need to investigate what exactly the Bible means by clean creatures, because at this time, Moses had not yet come with his own taxonomy and classification of creatures into clean and unclean. How did Noah know that there were creatures that were clean and creatures that were unclean? Because it was obvious that the clean creatures were not affected by the fall. Their manual was within. The way they were designed to operate, they still operate that way. Hallelujah. When I teach this, I always make reference to mosquito. I was meant to take food from the nectar of flowers. And when the manual was lost, it takes blood now. Hallelujah. You might have come here using a bus and you saw a conductor there. If God were to open your eyes to see his true destiny, it is not being a conductor. It was a manual that got lost. And that's why aberrations, and the only purpose is sustained in the visible creation, were vanity upon what? Vanity. And that's why you can only find your center of gravity with respect to purpose when you stumble upon Christ. And this intercessor, namely Noah, was trying to find a common ground of possibility in the midst of the fall and in the midst of the chaos. And when he sacrificed the clean creatures, what he was saying to God was, I don't know what you did and what you put in these animals that made them not to suffer from the impact of the overhaul. But we are sacrificing them to you so that you can make life sustainable upon the face of the earth. It was in response to that intercession that God said, as long as the earth remains. Those were the variables that he decided to hold constant so that the life of man under the sun can have a predictable possibility in his future. As long as what? Yet remains. See, time and harvest. No, that's the last one. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now, if we were to dwell on that, you come to realize by, according to elementary geography, that the reason for seasons, planting season, Hamatan season, is because the earth is revolving around the sun. And the reason for day and night is because the earth is revolving around its axis. Hallelujah. And so, the preacher said, cast your bread from the waters. And if the revolution process continues, you will find it after many days. But when we go into the New Testament, the subject of sowing and reaping is taken to another level. Because in the New Testament, there are only two possible places to sow into. You are either sowing into the flesh, or you are sowing into the spirit. Hallelujah. And so when we say, cast thy bread upon the waters, the wise know, keep sowing in the spirit, because you will find it after many days. He said, give a portion unto seven. Because when you are sowing into the spirit, that you stand to be discouraged, because spiritual things don't manifest this way physical things manifest. If you go to farm and you want to plant corn, you know it will take 3 months. The expectation is connected to a time frame. But when you are making an investment in the spirit, all your wisdom with respect to return on investment will become useless, because God has his own schedule that he walks with. Are you with me? So he said, cast your bread upon the water. He said, you will find it after many days. However, you need to adopt an insurance policy. Are you with me? Because the principle that guarantees a return on investment is as long as the earth remains. Is that true? The seed time and harvest principle is only functional as long as the earth remains. And that's a bad basis for investment, because it is possible for the earth not to remain. So what will happen to what you sowed in the natural? Because of that, an insurance policy had to be crystallized, just in case the earth is not faithful enough to bring about a return on investment. You partake of this insurance policy, and the insurance policy requires that you give a portion to seven. Yea, to what? Eight. Because of what? Oh, you are not with me. Why did he say we should give a portion to seven and to eight? Because you don't know what evil will come upon the earth. I hope you know that's the basis of the first principle. The first principle is as long as the earth remains. That's what cast thy bread upon the waters, and you will find it after many days is predicated upon. The next verse is an insurance policy, just in case the earth is not in place. There is a kind of investment you can make. Are you with me? That even though the earth is not in place, you will still have a return on investment. That's the reason for the second verse. He said, give a portion to seven. Yea, to what? Eight. Why? Because you do not know what evil will come upon the earth. So sometimes as you are sowing in the spirit, evil comes upon the earth. Evil. And this evil that comes upon the earth might elongate the time that is required for a return on your investment to find expression. And because of the possibility of the arrival of evil, a policy, an investment, an insurance policy is fabricated as a support system. Let me take you deeper. My emphasis is verse 5. But we can't jump there. We can't jump there. If you jump there, you will not know that there is a progression of revelation. You will miss out on the protocol. Walk with me. Let's do Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 is a theater arts piece. Theater arts. You need to be grounded in theater arts for you to understand that. Matthew chapter 26 clearly. Now this is Acts 1, scene 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus finished all these sayings, that he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Verse 3 is Acts 1, scene 2. Are you following? Right. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus subtly. And what? And kill. Jesus was prophesying to his disciples and said, the Passover is close. And because the Passover is close, it is needful for you to know that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. And the end point of the betrayal is what? Crucifixion. That's Acts 1, scene 1. And the guys in Acts 1, scene 2 were not in the place where Jesus prophesied. But the administrative infrastructure that will bring the prophecy to pass was being coupled together in another place. Are you following? That's fine. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, this Acts 2, scene 1 now. When Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, because he didn't know the meaning of what was happening at first from the position of the witness of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she had wrought a good work upon me for the poor. For ye shall have the poor always with you, but me ye shall not have always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Acts 1:1, Jesus spoke about the fact that his death was ordained by God to align on the feast of Passover. Acts 1:2, the administrative infrastructure that will bring to pass what he prophesied, they were arranging it. And even though there was a suggestion that he should not be killed on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So it means it wasn't convenient. We were looking at the security implication. It was going to generate an uproar, and they don't want that because it will attract the Romans. Because at this time, the Jews were not a self-governing nation. And anything that will bring about an upheaval was not good for the government of the time. Suddenly, they left the place where they were meeting initially and went to Bethany, the house of Simon the leper. Now, that guy was a leper that Jesus healed, but they had known him by his predicament. So his name could not be changed easily, even though the leprosy was healed. They had known him for... The name we called you for 35 years, you can't change it because there's a miracle. He was still Simon what? The leper.
For some others, God will put the burden of some nations.
Malawi,
Rwanda,
Uganda.
But there is an assignment for everyone. It doesn't matter where you walk, that's your walk, that's your door. But your calling is your walk.